Catch the vision and pray, for great doors can open before you. Be faithful and look not back, saith the Lord. I have not brought you to this place for you to look back. I brought you to this place for you to look forward. Yea, saith God, what I have ordained, yea, years and years ago, I am ready to bring to pass. The time is now, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister B, our mission work is different than when he begin to lay that on us, and we begin to make preparation to sell everything we had and go to Jamaica. And God said, no, the time isn't right. But the call is still the same, and we're getting in this age, a stage of life, for the gospel to go places where we could never, ever take it physically. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm expecting mighty things from God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're talking about the love of God, faith's strong foundation. We're talking about the love of God, the amazing love of God. Something you need to know about God that is beyond any other knowledge. Don't just know Him as healer. Don't just know Him as Savior. Don't just know Him as deliverer. But know Him, amen, in all the, don't just know Him in all the redemptive names that flow from His heart that is so powerful. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Sikinu, the Lord our righteousness. Amen. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our physician, or the Lord that heals us. Can you say amen? El Shaddai, know Him in all the glory and grandeur of His redemptive love. Know him as El Shaddai, the many-breasted one, the God who is more than enough. Can you say amen? But know that He's all of these things redemptively to us because of one thing that He is. And that is that God is love. He has power. He has compassion. He grants grace and mercy. But all of that is because of what He is. All that He does is because of what He is and who He is. We've known and believed, 1 John said, the love that God has for us, for God is love. He doesn't just have love. He is love. He's the essence of love. And He's the essence of a love that is beyond any human expression of love. Can a mother possibly, in the extreme situation, forsake her suckling child? We read about it every day in the paper. Yea, she may. They found a baby, a live, viable baby in the toilet in Disney World, and that baby lived. They find babies in trash cans and trash bins that somehow live and some die. Can a mother forsake her suckling child? Can her love be so unkind that that could happen? Yes, it can happen. But I will never forsake you, O house of Israel. There is a love that covers a multitude of sin. There is a God who can exhibit that love. Someone made the great statement, amen, man needs to be loved most when he deserves it the least. Only God can fulfill that incredible need. When I ministered in the jail system, some of the people I was ministering to didn't deserve the kind of love that I was telling them that God had for them. Because of the things they had done, none of us would deem them worthy of God's redemptive love flowing as powerfully to them as it would anyone in this room. But that's the glory of it. Can you say amen? That's the glory of it. And if there's anything going to melt the heart of Christians, we're talking about being molded, becoming more like Him. If your heart isn't melted, you can never be molded, because all you're going to do is make feeble, fleshly, religious attempts, a little stab at loving your enemy. And after a while, it'll be a different kind of stab. Can you say amen? Never achieve peace. Never achieve true joy. Never walk in consistent victory. Consistent victory, by the way, is not never stumbling. It's always getting up. Can you say amen? Everybody say always getting up. There is no such thing as a never stumbling victory. Amen. Did you know some boxing matches have 3 knockdown rules? If you're knocked down 3 times, the fight's over. I think that's wrong. I really do, because the fight's not over if somebody gets up. Amen. Amen. The fight's never over if somebody gets up. The fight's only over when you go down and you stay down. Amen. And the good news about it is we got somebody to help us up. Yeah. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. Hallelujah. No matter how many times we get knocked down, there's someone who stands ready to pick us up. David put it this way. He lifted me from a place I couldn't get out from. I wanted to get up, but I couldn't get up myself, but I didn't have to get out myself. Amen. There was a place I was in that felt like miry clay, that I sank down so deep in the grip of it that I couldn't extract myself from it. But he lifted me from the miry clay. And he didn't just bring me up. He brought me up into a stronger place. He set my feet upon a rock. Whatever place I was in that allowed me to slip into that clay, he set me in a place, amen, where I wouldn't slip in anymore. He didn't pick me up so I could slip in, so he could pick me up so I could slip in, so he could pick me up so I could slip in. He picked me up so he could establish me and put my feet upon a rock. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God that we serve. There's no reason for defeat, because there is no end to his absolute forgiveness and grace. And when grace seems to not be sufficient, there's one little scripture that addresses all of that. He giveth more grace. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can't ever accuse God of not giving you what you need in him. He's promised to do it. He will do it. So All faith, everywhere you see believing and faith, it all flows from a knowledge and understanding of God as being love, and a love that is far beyond any human concept of love. The words used for love were phileo, for the pure love, the brotherly love, and it has great credentials, this word, because it's the kind of love where a man would care for his fellow man enough to lay down his life for another. Amen. There's no greater love exhibited among human beings than when a man would lay down his life for another person. A woman would lay down her life for another person. Amen. There's no greater exhibit of love. And so there's great credentials to the and we're going to read from Psalm 36:7 in a moment. But there's great credentials to phileo love. There's a city called Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Philadelphia, amen, means the same thing it does in English as the Greek for the Church of Philadelphia. You know the church that Jesus commended, the one church out of the seven churches of Asia that he didn't find anything as he put the searchlight of his truth and his absolute understanding of everything about us. He looked in that church, put it under the microscope of his absolute understanding, not only what we do, but why we do it. Amen. All the motives of the heart. Amen. And if you want to see a church that's just blessed by the Lord, the Church of Philadelphia, the sixth of the seven churches of Asia. I mean, and what was their name? The church of who? The church of what? What was cohesive in this church that caused it to be so victorious? Was it just the church of great faith? That was the Church of Philadelphia. Can you say amen? Not Pennsylvania either. Because Philadelphia means brotherly love. When you start maturing, the Bible said love abounds. 1 John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that you have loved one for another. Nothing blesses a preacher, apostle, someone that cares for the church, the true church. Amen. Like hearing that people are growing into a maturity where they have a love, a committed love for one another. Philadelphia is a wonderful love. It's the love of a young Marine, a young black Marine during Vietnam. That there were several men together in a firefight with the enemy, and a grenade was tossed from their flank and landed in the hole. If you can catch it quick enough while the seconds are ticking away, you can throw it back away from you. But when they noticed it wasn't when it came in, they were busy with a firefight. But a young black Marine looked around and saw a grenade laying right there in the midst of them, a fragmentation grenade that would have killed them all. True story out of Vietnam. And what he did, he flung himself on the grenade because he knew, I don't know how long it's been there, there is no time. If it goes off, it'll kill me and all my brothers. You see, in Vietnam, there wasn't black and white. That during Vietnam, that debate was still going on here in America. We're still trying to come to grips with the fact that we all bleed red, no matter what the color of our skin. And no matter what our culture, can you say amen? We're brothers, we're sisters collectively. But that while that debate was going on here in America, it wasn't going on in a foxhole in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And a young black Marine threw himself on the grenade. And when it exploded, his body literally took all of the blast, all of the shrapnel, everything just was contained as his body just blew apart. But it kept that shrapnel and that blast from hurting anybody around him. And when those men came back, they knew something about Philadelphia. They knew something about phileo. Philadelphia in the Greek means brotherly love. And the Bible said, let brotherly love continue. And the Bible spoke of the unfeigned love of the brethren. That's when it becomes reality. It's not some religious front that we put on or some persona we try to. It's something we grow into because that's who God is. Amen. There's only two commandments, he said, that take care of everything. Two of them. He reduces the equation down to two. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord vertically. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor, thy brother, sister, as yourself. On these two commandments, Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, you get people to that point, you won't have to preach on don't do this, you should have done that anymore. Oh, you didn't hear me. You will never have to preach on don't do that, because love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. So love is the fulfilling of the law. Can you say amen? Woo! You don't have to tell me not to covet my neighbor's wife. I love God too much, and I love him too much.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. How about that, church? Wouldn't it be great to grow into something that we don't have to deal with the peripherals anymore? We're walking in something that is guaranteed victory. Amen. You see somebody by the road that's out of gas, walking with a gas can, you stop, you pick them up. If they need money for gas, you buy the gas for the can. You don't have to pray about that. That's what love would do. Well, whatever true love would do, that's exactly what God would do. Being led of the Spirit gets simplified. Do what love would do. What would love do in this situation? What would love do in that situation? What would love do in this situation? Amen? Amen? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So follow after faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greater of these is love. And then he goes on to say, if I've got all these gifts and I don't have this fruit, amen, all of it fails. All of it breaks down. It becomes man's religious attempt to show forth something that only God can bring forth. Can you say amen? You can't love me when I fail you unless God does it through you. But he can love me when I fail him. Isn't that strange? Can you say amen? He loved Israel when they failed him. Amen. He couldn't let it go by. The judgments came, the chastisement. But every judgment that was in Israel was corrective. It was not meant to destroy them. Not one of them meant to destroy them. Can you say amen, nationally or personally? He said, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Amen. I put two ways before you, life and death. Amen. And darkness and light. Choose life that you might live. But why will you die? You don't have to die. Repentance is one of the most powerful messages in the Bible, because God lives to forgive. God loves to forgive. God is a God of mercy. And the Bible said when people turn to him, no matter where they've been and what they've done, he will abundantly pardon.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Israel has hope, the prophet says, even though these judgments are in the land and it looks like our enemies are prevailed and God is forsaken. But his mercies are new every morning. Therefore, we've got hope. I'll tell you, there's hope for you today. Hallelujah. There's hope for America today. I'm a hopeful preacher about a nation that surely has drifted away from God. But guess what, church? Every day when that sun rises, God's mercy gets up, stretches itself, and says, if you'll turn to me today, today will be the day that I return to you. Hallelujah. What a gracious God. It makes me want to serve him. We used to be afraid to teach the love of God to this level or degree because we were afraid people would use it, amen, as an excuse for sin. The fact that you can be forgiven as an excuse for sin. I believe that's baloney. I'll tell you why. Amen. If you really get a hold of what I'm preaching right now, amen, you won't be looking for a way to sin against a God this good and this loving and this kind and this forgiving. You'll start serving Him for a new motive, not the fear of His judgment, but because of His love. People who love their leader would die for Him in battle. Amen. People who love their country will lay down their life. If they had 1,000, they'd lay all 1,000 of them down. Love is the most compelling, most powerful force that there is in all of the world. Love is stronger than hate. There have been a lot of people motivated by hate, but it's those who died for the cause of love that are most formidable in battle. Can you say amen? People loved their country in World War II. There was such patriotism. Amen. People loved their country. Amen. Literally, you know what they said when they got on? It was Iwo Jima and some of these places where such fire was pouring down on these troops that were coming up toward that fire of machine guns, the fire of rifles and carbines, the fire of automatic weapons, the fire of mortars, the fire of these larger guns and these explosions. They knew a large portion of us are going to die. So what they did, so that they could function, was to count themselves as dead before they ever hit the ground. They were not trying to necessarily stay alive, because a man trying to stay alive is just going to put his head down and not fight. It's people who counted themselves as dead that didn't have anything to lose. They said, you know something? I'm going to resolve it in my mind. I know this goes against all the positive thinking stuff and all that, but they just counted themselves as dead so they could function. I'm dead. I'm not going to see my wife. I'm not going to see my girlfriend. I will see my mom and daddy until we get to heaven. I'm going to do my praying right now. As far as I'm concerned, I'm dead now. The most fearsome man in battle is the man who considers himself dead already, who doesn't fear being killed, for he will fight no matter what, saith the Spirit of God. And the most fearsome in spiritual battle is those who have died to themselves, who've already counted themselves as but dead, yea, that they might live unto me. Yea, they will fight for me. They will fight to the end. They will fight to the death, because they don't fear death, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's no more I that live. Paul said, I'm not alive. It's no more I that live. Hallelujah. It's Christ that liveth in me. He counted himself dead so you couldn't threaten him with death. What a fighter. What a soldier of the cross Paul was. Can you couldn't head him off even if you cut off his head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what motivated Paul? He said the love. His faith operated off of that base. The love of Christ constraineth me. Where does endurance come from? He just got such faith that nothing could shake it. No, he had such love flowing from God to him. He said, there's nothing that'll separate me from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. Nothing present, nothing coming, no angel, no devil, no principality, no circumstance, death or life or any other thing can ever separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Nothing! That means the things that cause people to get discouraged and turn back didn't discourage or cause him to turn back. In fact, he looked at those very things worse than anything you and I are facing, and he said, none of these things move me. Where did he get that unmovable faith? He got 16 tapes on how to increase your faith. No, he knew the God who is love. And he began to reciprocate, began to love him back. How did Jesus get Peter into something? How did he get him into stability? Did he threaten to strike him with leprosy if he didn't preach the gospel? I heard that message when I first got saved. We sang the song that went with the message. And the message that I heard about ministry callings was a man who a king asked to come and have an audience with him. And it was right in the middle of the harvest. And the man said, tell the king, I can't come because my fields need to be harvested. If I come right now to see the king, I'm going to lose my harvest. And the king heard about it, and kings didn't take to that. When you commanded to come, you come. Can you say amen? So, you know, it was a barley field is what it was. And he said, you know, I want my servants, the king said to his servants, I want you to go out tonight and I want you to set that field on fire. I want you to take away his excuse for not coming into my presence. Yeah. So what was preached to me was, amen, if you don't go preach the gospel, God is going to afflict your children. God is going to afflict your wife. God is going to afflict you. God is going to pound you and break you. Can you say amen? So that's a fear-motivated reason for preaching the gospel. Jesus had every reason to accuse Peter and threaten him because he denied him publicly, but he didn't. He cooked him fish. He gave him unqualified forgiveness, and then he began to talk to him about love and said, do you love me? And Peter, overwhelmed by the expression of love from Jesus Christ to the least deserving of all the disciples, said, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you. Jesus said then, love me back by showing it this way. Go and feed my sheep. Go do it because you love me, Peter. Why? Because all this other stuff can break down under pressure, but there is a force that doesn't break down. And Peter went and preached and died, amen, on a cross upside down because of his great love for Jesus Christ. Nothing stopped him. Nothing moved him because love stabilized him. Man-made religions are not big on love. Amen? Amen? Wanted to kill you because you don't believe the way I believe. That's not a very loving expression of God, is it? You don't believe that I believe you're an infidel. Shoo. Jesus said that time will come. And this is in the context of religion, and we're seeing it today. The time will come when they will kill you and consider it doing God a service. And we're seeing that right now. Amen? That in the name of God, whatever God name you want to throw out, but in the name of God, amen. What a misrepresentation of this God who loved the world enough to give his only begotten son, who loved Israel enough to say, why will you die? Turn back to me so I can restore you. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible?
Yes, it is.
Love who? What? How do you treat your enemies? Love your enemies. Do good to them. Now, I'm not talking about God who has the right to judge from his heaven. I'm talking about you and me. What's your attitude? Call fire from heaven! Come on, there's churches today that would do the same thing. Church leaders that would do the same thing. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You don't know this God we're talking about, that I talk to every day. You don't know this God who sent me. You don't know what he's like. All you've seen is what the Sanhedrin showed you. You don't know what it's like. They wanted him on the cross and they loved to see him suffering on it. Religion, not politics. Religion, not the Roman government. Religion without love, without truly being God-centered, but yet all the trappings of God in it. A form of godliness denying the power of it. Now, I'm not talking about anointings and Pentecostal power expressions of gifts. The real power of this gospel is the love of God.
Amen.
I know tongue-talking people that'll talk you down and put you down and eat you for breakfast. So this thing has to go beyond gifts, doesn't it? Amen? Seen preachers bicker, two great evangelists with healing ministries, bickered because one of them came out in the Evangel magazine years ago and said he had the largest gospel tent in the world reaching people for the Lord. And another fellow sent his guys that worked with him over one night to measure after they left the tent that they said was the biggest, and he came out in the Evangel the next month and said, we have measured that tent and it is not as big as ours. And I thought, oh dear God in heaven, you've got a calling to evangelize the world, you've got a gift of miracles, you've got people being healed and all these testimonies coming in and people coming to Christ, and you're worried about who has the biggest tent. That goes to show that just gifts does not equal maturity. How many know that's pretty immature? How many know that's awful immature? How many know that's down in the primary grade immature category? And here's this man or woman or whoever it is standing up there under such powerful anointing, and we think if they're anointed, they must be that close to God. Must be just like Jesus. Amen. Well, you don't do these things if you're that close to God and like Jesus. I mean, this stuff you should learn in Sunday school. Come on, you shouldn't have to wait to get into you know, my class. Senior citizens class. I'd call it senior Christian class. Praise. If I was teaching Sunday school, you know what I'd teach? Because of my age and stage, the senior adults. Wow. Boy, that's a hard bunch. Amen. Most of us will get set in our way around 40 years old. Amen. It's hard after that. Amen. Give me the 30-year-olds. There's hope. Better yet, the 20-year-olds. Amen. Bob, but if you get set in the right way. Yeah. I've met some people that were 60, 70, 80, set in the right way. Praise God. Amen. It's all right to get set if you just get set in the right way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Love believes all things. Faith worketh by love. Love believes all things. Love doesn't have a problem believing. Can you say amen? Love endures all things. Jesus could have come off that cross. Why didn't he? It wasn't nails. It wasn't those spikes that held him. One communion I'm going to bring, a nail the size of the spike that held him. Pass it around and let everybody look at what held him to that tree in the eyes of the onlookers. And understand clearly, those nails driven in did not hold him to that tree. What held him there? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He said that to a world of sinners and blasphemers, vile that he could not abide or allow into his presence. But he said, but I want you in my presence. And you can never qualify for my presence, but I want you. The way he exhibited the love for Israel in the Old Testament, unless you misunderstand the God of the Old Testament, in the life of his prophet, he said, I want you to go out and I want you to find a woman of the night. I want you to find a prostitute, Gomer, and I want you to marry her. Thank you for the hearty amens. Amen. Because he wanted you to know here in the 21st century how he feels about people that turn to him and how his grace keeps reaching. Amen. That's why judgment's going to be so severe, is because of the great salvation that's offered that's been rejected. I want you to marry her. Oh, by the way, it's her nature, it's in her. She's going to do you terribly wrong. And it's going to break your heart because you're going to fall in love with her. Enough that it's going to break your heart when she goes away. And she went out again into her old profession while, and he was being good to her and kind to her and loving to her and gave her respectability. But she went out again in adultery, and men hurt her this time. They didn't just use her, they hurt her. And he took her back in and held her and loved her as per God's instruction. And he said, what you have just demonstrated to the people of Israel is how good I was to them, how they broke my heart with their sin and hurt me that way, and how willing I am, if they'll turn back, to embrace them again and hold them and help them and love them. So if you think there's two gods, that old mean God of the Old Testament and the kind of, the one that's kind of cooled off in the New Testament, you're wrong. This heart of God that was beating for Israel of old is beating in Jesus Christ on the cross. Yes. Can you say amen? Only now, hallelujah, that love can be expressed through a dispensation called grace because of the blood of the last Lamb. Can you say amen? And God wanted them to know him as a God of loving kindness. That's why the Bible said this strong foundation for faith in Psalm 36:7. How excellent is thy hasid, is the word in the Hebrew. Hasid. How excellent is thy hasid. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Men have faith in you because they know you love. So you pick up your Bible and you think it's a magic book because of the Holy Writ. And you think faith somehow enters you as you read the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. No, the Word of God gives you the truth about God. It's to introduce you to God so you know who He is and what He's like. Christ said, I've declared Him to you. All the mystique and mystery is taken away. The book of Revelation is not about the Antichrist. He's a sideline player. Come on! The book of Revelation is not about the Antichrist. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John the Divine. And the word is apocalypse. It was a positive word to John because of all the judgments in this scenario that's coming down. Amen. It's taken on a negative tone, but apocalypse is positive because it means something that was previously covered up, completely hidden from view. It means, you know what apocalypse means? It means the unveiling of that was totally previously hidden and unknowable. Apocalypse means you can't know this mysterious God of the universe, this great being that created heaven and earth. And Jesus said, oh yes, you can know Him. For when you've seen Me, you have seen the Father. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And He unveils Him. Apocalypse Now is not a movie about Vietnam from the 70s. It is what is happening in the Church of Jesus Christ. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us because of what He is. Not what He's done, but what He is. Because God is love. The Bible said, he that feareth is not perfected in love. Fear hath torment. Penal imprisonment, that word torment used only one time in the whole Bible. One time, this Greek word for torment, because it means to be put in prison and punished. Penal imprisonment. Not in prison just to be kept from the rest of society, but put in prison and punished. Penal imprisonment. Fear puts you in a prison and punishes you. Jesus came to set that captive of fear free. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said we were held captive by the fear of death. Amen. And Jesus came and said, death has lost its power over you. Amen. That captivity is gone. Praise God. We've already died. Amen. How can Paul says you can't kill me. I'm dead. You can set me free from this bone bag that my spirit lives in. But the old Paul, he died out on the road to Damascus. Amen. Amen. How do you know? Because they took me down to a river and I was buried with Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on. That's why those missionaries could do what they did. They saw themselves as dead already. They were living for heaven before they ever left this earth. That's why they left house and land and all of the things that we think we've got to have to be fulfilled and happy and laid it all down to tell somebody about Jesus. They knew something about the life that comes out of that death. We got preachers today that don't know anything about the life that comes out of death. Say it again, Ruth. That's for sure. Hallelujah. Ain't it the truth? They can only tell you how to get more things to enhance your life. Listen, your life is not what it's all about. It's His life in you. You ain't really living till He lives through you. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. You ain't living it up because you go to the Saks of Fifth Avenue to do your shopping. You ain't living it up because you can pay $1,000 for an ounce of perfume. You ain't living it up because you have breakfast at Tiffany's. You live it up because Jesus lives in you. And you can live it up down in Africa in a mud hut if Jesus is in you. Amen. He said we're already dead and our life is hidden God in Christ. That's why Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. Actually, Jesus laid it down in Gethsemane. He said, it's gone. This part of it is gone. But the eternal part of it can never be stopped. And hell found that out when they tried to take a prisoner down into that place. And hell couldn't hold him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. Jesus never, never experienced that. And we don't have to either. I really like the Amplified, how precious is your steadfast love. One paraphrase reads, how eager we are to run under your wings. Can you say amen? That's when faith grows. That's when faith shines. Hallelujah. Nothing stimulates us to trust the Lord more than a revelation and realization of His great love. Nothing stimulates faith like a revelation of the love of God. Amen? Let me read one more scripture this morning. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Because of God's great love for us, His heart is easily touched. I'm not reading the scripture yet while you're turning. God does not sit aloof in His heaven with little or no concern for His creation. He came down to feel our human condition, to experience our troubles and trials, to become our Savior and our friend by becoming one of us. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? He became one of us. There's nothing that's touching you that didn't touch Him. Isn't that beautiful? When you go to Him with a need, He understands. You may not even understand, but He being God in flesh understands. That's why He knows how to help you in a way that's personal to you. You may hear a testimony of someone who just read a scripture and got set free. Someone else just heard some great preacher and got set free. Someone else just prayed and prayed and they got set free. Well, see, that was all unique to them. God knows exactly how to help you. He knows what. And boy, I love being led of the Spirit because that lets me off the hook of trying to answer to everyone else and be like everybody else. I get to be uniquely me. And God deals with me individually. There's no temptation taking you personally, but that is common to all men. But God is faithful who will not let you, Dale, be tempted above that you, Dale, are able to bear. You don't compare yourself to this one or that one. It's between God and Dale. Can you say amen? Isn't that precious? When God deals with Pamela, it's not Pamela and Patty and lumping you together. Pamela and Patty and Casey, the three musketeers, I'm going to deal with them as, I didn't see, I just give them a name here. They got to go out to lunch now sometime. Anyway, amen. But I'm going to deal with Pamela as Pamela. I know how far Pamela can go. I know her character, her makeup. I know her uniquely, intimately, personally. Amen. There is no temptation taking you, Pamela, but that is common to all men. But God is faithful who will not let you, Pamela, to be tempted above that you, Pamela, are able to bear, who will with the temptation will make a way for you, Pamela, to escape. Can you say amen? That will become Pamela's testimony of how God brought her through. And it may be different from the testimony of how God brought Dale through. But the important thing is, the bottom line is, God brings His children through. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! 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 Told her to read the scripture. Told her to pray every morning. Told her to fast a little bit. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. Can you say amen? Because that trial, God said, I know how to fix it. I've been where you are and I know what it's going to take to get you through it. Yes. Hallelujah. Isn't He incredible? It's where the bold faith comes from. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, seeing then, this is something we have a grip on, it's something we know, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. That means there's somebody up there that is an advocate for you. The work of the high priest was what? Advocacy for Israel. He stood between God and Israel. Can you say amen? Oh, you didn't hear me. You've got friends in high places. Glory be to God. Somebody say, I got a friend in high places. We got a high priest who does what? Ever lives to do what in our behalf? To make what? I tell you, Ruth is an intercessor. And I'm glad to know she prays when we ask her to. Amen. She's called to it. And the devil hates her and fights her for it. She's called to intercession. But the greatest intercessor of all, amen, hanging on the cross, what did he do? He intercedes. Amen. Father, forgive them is direct intercession for the people who put him there. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Listen, if Jesus interceded in all of that pain on the cross, amen, with all those nails in him beat until no one could endure it without supernaturally being sustained to endure it, can you say amen? And I don't mean taking the pain away, just not letting him die until he chose to give it up on the cross. He's hanging impaled on that cross praying, Father, forgive. Do you think that you have pained him so much he can't find it in his heart to forgive you? Honey, if he can hang on that cross and cry unto them that are still blaspheming him for forgiveness, how do you think he's going to react when tears run down our cheeks and say, Lord, have mercy on me. God is going to abundantly pardon and raise you up and put your feet on a rock. Can you say amen? If you ever start loving him back for loving you like that, nothing will move you anymore. Hallelujah. If you ever start loving him back for loving you like that, nothing will move you anymore. You'll go ahead and die now. So that you can live for him. You understand a little better if a grain of wheat fall to the ground and die. It brings forth much fruit. Fruit of the Spirit don't just come forth in your life because you have the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes forth in your life because the Holy Spirit now has you. It's no more I that live, but what's he reproducing? Whose character is he bringing forth? Is he making you a better George? No. He doesn't want a better George or a better Bobby. An edited version of me that's a little better than the old one was. No, he wants me to cease to exist so that Jesus can live through me. He wants his love touching this congregation, not my religious responsible brand of love. Amen? See, the love of God is different. When you see your brother and sister in need and you're going to operate off your love, you can find every excuse for not doing what love would actually do. See your brother or sister in need and you say, go thy way. I'm going to pronounce a blessing on you. Be warmed and filled. You have no firewood and no food, but I'm going to pray God make a way some way. Amen? You know what I'm saying? I heard about your condition and I want you to know I'm really praying for you. Well, my condition can be met without God coming down here and doing it. Some pork and beans and some firewood would help. If you see your brother or sister in need and you say, here's how we evade that issue. Go thy way, be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you have it right by you to meet that need and you don't do it. What's he said? How dwelleth what love in you?
Love of God.
Love of God. See, God's love doesn't just pronounce a blessing or pray a prayer. God's love gives what is needed. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus laid down his life. No one took it from him. He gave it. Freely you've received, freely give. There's a rush in giving. Now, when you just give to get the material, you lose the spiritual fulfillment of giving. You lose the God stuff altogether because anybody in the world can do that. Whoever puts a dollar down this weekend hoping to win the lotto Wednesday is giving to get. They're not giving to build a school because they care about education. Well, some of it goes to education, yeah, but you ain't giving for the education. You put the dollar down and go get the Spiegel. That's a catalog if you didn't realize what it was. It's not Spiegel from a movie. It's a catalog. Amen? You ask. You have not because you ask not. Oh, all I need is faith then. So I go build my faith. And you ask and receive not, even though you're now got faith. Because you ask amiss to do what? Consume it on who? Myself. If I give to that ministry, God's going to give me a raise, going to give me a big car and a big home. I'll give to that ministry. I feel led. Lord, you spoke to my heart. If I'm going to get a big home and a big car and a better job, I'm writing the check. Who's that for? That's not for the person that Katrina just tore the house up and their lease is up on their little old bitty trailer that the government give them. Can you say, man, I ain't going to help them a bit in the world. You don't want the money to help the victims of... By the way, the victims of Katrina are still victims of Katrina. That hasn't went away. It's just that we look the other way. There are churches that have millions coming in. There are preachers that could ride first class, but it's not good enough. There's no status in just sitting there with some movie star going somewhere. And it's all for the gospel, isn't it? Everything we do is for the gospel. Honey, we need to examine the gospel. The gospel is about God's love for people. The good news is, amen, you can be mopping floors in a hospital and go out and get in your little car, four cylinders, amen. Look at the gas gauge and say, boy, I got enough to get home. If I don't go nowhere else, I'd get paid tomorrow. It's pegging down near the E, but I can get home and I can get back and get my check, and by God's grace, I can get to the Shell station. Can you say, man, I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there, done that. Everybody's ever been there, done that, wave at me. See, nobody can see you on radio. Nobody will know but us, and I'll never tell. Can you say, man, because I've been there, done that. Praise God. I want you to know how God esteems you. You are not a spiritual loser. You are not somewhere down the line and you need to build your faith. Honey, I'm telling you, God loves you with a love that exalts you to a place in Him that nothing you have or don't have intellectually or financially or materially, it has no value. Can you save it? What really gives you worth is the blood that was shed for you on that cross and the love that caused Jesus to go to it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 I've been out with preachers that talked condescendingly to the people who served us at a restaurant. And it made me feel bad for the gospel. Because these are the people that Christ died for. That we stand behind. These servant people to us. Amen. The guy who's going to flip your burger today deserves your kindness, your concern, your respect, because Jesus Christ died for that young gal or guy. Amen. I told you last week we went up to that place where we eat that one Angus beef burger a week. It's our one a week burger. Cholesterol. It's not a matter of you say, Brother Venable, it's cholesterol. You know, keeping that cholesterol in check. Amen. You ain't getting rid of me that easy. I'm going to preach on for a little while. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And the limo, you know, Pamela was so dressed that morning, and I guess I looked decent, and they thought, you know, they're either coming from church or they came in that limo. From, you know, there must be somebody special. We were going to get special treatment because the limo pulled in as we walked in. The limo had just pulled in a few seconds earlier. They didn't see us get out of the little white Buick, you know. And so we come walking in, and the girl come running over and said, are y'all in that limo? Trying to figure out who we are and what we are. And we said, no, we're from that little white Buick and that little black truck. But if we had got out of that limo and we were somebody special, and we'd show kindness. We try to show kindness to everybody that comes across our path. Because we've been little people before we got such famous ministers. We were one of the little people back in the day. We remember our roots, Terry, down in Sulphur Springs. Suffering Springs. Dover. This ministry started in my front yard on an acre and a quarter of land on sugar sand. And we had wanted to have it pretty early in the morning because that sun come out. There wasn't nothing out there but us in folding chairs. Amen. That's where we begin preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Independently. At Dover, Florida. Amen. That's Dover. And you know what they did? You know what they did when we left that property? They built a Spanish-speaking church on that property. And that church burned to the ground, and they're building it back. Praise God. There's anointed sugar sand somewhere out on Petty Road in Dover. Praise God. Back behind the Shop and Save or whatever it is. Amen. There's a piece of land that God sanctified when we walked out there with His Word to sit down and exalted Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Amen. I think it's pretty incredible they built a church where we lived, hallelujah, and where we preached in our front yard all those years ago. Praise God. Amen. A little old bitty oak trees we planted that big around, wondering if they would grow in that old sugar sand. Amen. Now they're big old gnarly oaks sitting there, and I'm saying, dear Lord in heaven, it's been a long time since I was young. I was 27, and the oak trees look like, you know, getting ready to be Grandpa Oaks. And I'm saying, whoa, what's that make me? Anyway, God has a tender heart because He's good. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. When it says hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, He's faithful that promised. Don't ever get that into the, if I just say something long enough, repeat it like a mantra. You've heard that teaching. Amen. This is your profession of faith in your great intercessor and what He's done at the cross and what He's doing now. He ever lives to make intercession. Come on, folks. This goes beyond the temporal, physical, material. Amen. Amen. This gets into something so glorious and powerful. The Son of God is standing as your advocate in heaven. We have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate, and the advocate is using His own nail-pierced hands to plead for our forgiveness and our restoration. Isn't that incredible? God's own Son saying, forgive them because, look, I took the punishment for that sin that they just repented of. Forgive them. Wow. That's better than just getting a Mercedes. Amen. You can't put a price on this. It's priceless. It's called the unsearchable riches of Christ. And every one of us possess it. Oh, you're rich people today. Hallelujah. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. We should not have halting hearts, but eager hearts, trusting that His love for us will not falter. Let me read it from the Amplified and we'll close. Will you stand to your feet for this reading? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation. But one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without ever sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we might receive mercy for our failures, find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Yeah. Hallelujah. There are two imperatives in bold faith. Our absolute trust that God is. God exists. He is real. Christ came into this fallen world to reveal Him. And that He loves us and therefore responds to us when we make Him our source. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's the two imperatives of faith. They that come to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God that He is today. How many people in this room understand that When we first became saved, we were supposed to get rooted and grounded in love before any growing up. We had to grow down. Our roots, how many know roots grow down for the tree to grow up? And I think one of the reasons some trees never grew up is because the roots never grew down. Can you say, man? We never got rooted and grounded in love. So when we grew up, even though gifts came, abilities came, anointings came, that bedrock, that grounded, that foundation that doesn't move, doesn't shake, that causes everything else to be qualified spiritually, as spiritually important and spiritually useful to God. See, one day our works are going to be judged. What I'm doing right now, amen, is going to be put before God. And it's going to be tried with fire. It said some works are wood, hay, and stubble. They're done with the ulterior motive of something in it for me. And those works will be consumed by the fire of His knowledge of the intent of the heart. Amen. Singers that sing in great choirs that do it simply because they want to hold a church position or they want to be seen or they just want to be part of the group and go out to eat with for the fellowship that really don't have God's glory in view at all. Sing the songs of Zion, not from the heart. One day they'll stand before God at the Bema, at the judgment seat of Christ, and the things that were done for that motive would not be accounted to them at all. But everything done out of love for Christ and love for people qualifies. Fire doesn't hurt gold and silver as long as it's in the right amount. All it does is burn out the dross and leave the pure. That's why fiery trials don't consume true Christians. The only thing it consumed is our fleshly confidences that break down under that fire. But our trust in Him emerges stronger than ever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Though it be tried as by fire, our faith emerges stronger than ever. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Number one on it. How many in this room believe that we can get more of this? That is, you know what the great news is? It's not too late to get back in the potting soil. It's not too late for our roots to grow down. It's not too late for us to grow up. Can you say amen? How many know it's not too late? Amen? Because God still calls us to Himself for restoration. Amen. Let's begin.